Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Church of God radio broadcast. This is Fred Barrows, and we thank you for joining us here today. It is our desire to lift up Jesus Christ through the precious preaching of the gospel. This ministry comes to you from the Church of God at God's Acres at 675 North Cedar Street here in Newark, Ohio. And now we'd like to introduce to you our evangelist, Brother Larry Dishman, who has a timely message from God's Word.
We ask you to take your Bibles and turn with us over to the book of Matthew 25, verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that as thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, we preached on he can be depended on. And there's no question about that. That's settled. God can be depended on, but we ought to turn that around. Can he depend on you? Can he depend on us? So I'd like to talk to you about that for a little while. Can he depend on us? Each should know their responsibilities as a Christian. And God does depend on us by choice to do what he commands us to do. This parable teaches that each individual is responsible to God for the abilities that he or she has. God knows what we're able to do. So we learn that we need to use those abilities in order to be pleasing in the sight of God. Unlike the one talent man, we need to be concerned about taking what we have and using what we have appropriately. Dependability, we want it, don't we? In fact, some demand it and become angry when people are undependable. However, exactly how good are we at being dependable when it comes to the things of God? There's a song that says, can he depend on you? Jesus, the Savior, came down from above, came to bring mercy and love, crucify him. The mob scornfully cried, so he on Calvary died. While on the cross, he prayed, Father, forgive, for they know not what they do. For us he died, that for him we might live. Can he depend on you? Can he depend on you, his blessed will to do? Will you be crowned with the faithful and true? Can he depend on you? He has prepared in heaven a home for all his faithful and own. Are you preparing to stand by his side, or in that day be denied? Can God depend on you? Have you told others the story of his love, showing them what God can do in their lives? Friend, there are precepts that come from above. Can he depend on you? This song speaks about the ideal of responsibility. We must embrace the truth that God has by choice, decide that he is going to depend on us for some things, that we're going to be dependable. So I'd like to discuss some things by the help of God and ask the question, can he depend on you to be faithful to the house of God? Can he depend on you? There are some folks that's just not dependable. I'm not talking about when you have to work. I'm not talking about when you're sick. I'm talking about not being dependable to the house of God. Amen. We need to be dependable. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Can God depend on you to take an active role in the work of the local congregation? That's a good question, is it? God has not placed the responsibility of building up the work of God just on one man. No, it's all of our responsibilities to work, my friend, upon the upbuilding of the kingdom of God. In short, everybody's got a job to do, and we need to find out what that is and give it our very best. God wants us to be for the work of God. Can he depend on you to live for him? Amen? Can he depend on you to live like a Christian is supposed to live? As Christians, we've been redeemed from the consequences of our sins. Two boys were raised together. I mean, they were friends in elementary school. They were friends in high school, and they played sports together. They hunted together. They fished together. They double dated, and they just were real good friends. But the thing is, one of these boys went to church, and the other boy did not go to church at all. One boy went to church all the time. The other one did not go to church at all. But yet, they were good friends. But the boy that went to church was always inviting him to come to church. But he never would. Not even as a young boy. He never went to church with his friend. This went on for many years. They're out of high school now. He's still inviting him to come and go to church. And finally, one day, the young man that did not go to church, he said, would you like for me to tell you why I never went to church with you? He said, I sure would. He said, the reason that I have never went to church with you is because that's the only thing that's different about me and you. You go to church, I don't go to church. You see what he was saying? That's the only thing different with a lot of people. They go to church, but they do not live the life. Can he depend on you to live for him? Let your light so shine. You know what that testimony tells me? That boy was not letting his light shine. Amen. Out in the world, they would do the same things, but the only difference was one of them went to church. I'm glad that true salvation will definitely make a change in an individual. I read many years ago, I've often referred to this, about a socialist that was giving a speech, and he was all excited giving this speech, and he got so carried away, he said, well, socialism can even put a new coat on a man. And there was a man in the audience that had recently been saved by the grace of God, and he said, old time salvation will put a new man in the coat. Amen. I like that, don't you? That's what salvation does. Amen. It puts a new man inside the coat. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. So let's ask, can God depend on us to live like a Christian? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We're no longer to live for ourselves, but we're now living for God. Colossians 3:1 says, "If ye then being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." The way we live our lives is the greatest aspect of what it means to be a Christian to others. They may hear the words that we say, but friend, they are going to see the way that we live. And if we live just like them, why should they desire to have what we have? And so the Apostle Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." How do we do this? By being faithful to God, keeping our lives pure. We simply cannot afford to leave a bad example. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3 and verse number 11, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" I read one time about a young man that was getting ready to graduate from college, and for many months he had admired a beautiful sports car in the dealer's showroom. Knowing his father could well afford it, he told him, "That's what I want for my graduation present." And he knew his father was financially able to get him that car. As graduation day approached, the young man awaited signs to see if his father was going to purchase this car. Finally, on the morning of the graduation, his father called him into the private study, and his father told him how proud he was to have such a son, and told his son how much that he loved him. And he handed his son a beautiful wrapped gift box. Curious, but somewhat disappointed, the young man opened the box and found the lovely leather-bound Bible with the young man's name embossed in gold. Angrily, he raised his voice at his father, and he said to his father, "With all the money you got, you give me a Bible for graduation?" And he stormed out of the house. Many years passed, and the young man was very successful in business. He had a beautiful home. He had a wonderful family. But he realized, my father is getting old, and he hadn't been there since the day he stormed out of the house, and he thought I should go see him. And he had not made the arrangements as of yet to go see his father when he received a telegram telling him that his father had passed away and he willed all of his possessions to his son. He needed to come home immediately and take care of things. When he arrived at his father's house, suddenly sadness and regret filled his heart. He began to search through his father's important papers, and he saw the new Bible just as he had left it years ago. With tears, the man opened the Bible, began to turn the pages of the Bible. His father had carefully underlined a verse in Matthew 7:11, "And if ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give to those who ask him?" And as he read those words, a car key dropped from the back of the Bible. It had a tag with the dealer's name, the same dealer who had the sports car that he desired. And on the tag was the date of his graduation and the words, "Paid in full." As I read that, I thought, how many times do we miss God's blessings because they're not packaged as we expected them to be? We have to be more than just able to do the will of God. We have to be willing to do whatever God desires us to do. No matter what it looks like, if God said it, we have to stick to it. If this young man had only been obedient, had the right spirit and attitude and moved forward on what looked to be nothing out of the ordinary, he would have been blessed with an extraordinary gift. Can he depend on you? Can God depend on you to defend the truth against every foe? Amen. What about you? I believe we ought to defend the truth, don't you? Too many people will defend the gospel if someone they do not like is perverting it. But if one of their friends perverts God's word, then they tend to be tolerant or they make excuses for them. I believe that when truth is at stake, we should have no friends except God. The Bible says in Ephesians, the 6th chapter and verse number 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Jude put it like this in the 3rd verse. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was need for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Can God depend on you to be uncompromising in the fight against sin, shame, and immorality? Amen. When a person at the workplace laughs at sin, mocks sin, makes light of God's truth, do you say anything? Do you stand up for what's right? Amen. If God can count on you, prove it by standing for that which is right. When you compromise, you don't win, but you have been won. Can God depend on you to teach his message, to stand for the truth? One of the last things that Jesus said before his disciples, before he ascended, is recorded in the book of Matthew, the 28th chapter, verse number 18, when he said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. When it comes to sharing the gospel, can Christ depend on you? Can God depend on you to share the gospel and do your best to win souls? Or have we tended to excuse ourselves from obedience to this command? We ought to be haunted by the words of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 33:8, when I say to the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak and warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Blood guiltiness. He said, we have to warn people to get the blood off of our hands. If we don't warn them, their blood can be on our hands on the day of judgment. God help us to be more diligent in spreading the good news. Throughout the entire book of Acts, Christians go into the world teaching the gospel, preaching the gospel to every creature. In the book of Acts, we find the preaching of the gospel among the city of Jerusalem. In the book of Acts, the 8th chapter, it records the preaching of the gospel into Samaria. In Acts, the 10th chapter, it records the expansion of the preaching of the gospel to the Gentiles. And it went all the way to Rome. And Luke recorded of Paul in Acts 28, verse 31, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. We need to be up and about our Father's business. Can the Lord depend on you to be up and about your Father's business? We have several tools
that no other generation has had to get the gospel out. We've got DVDs, we got CDs, we've got the internet, we've got tracks, we've got the wonderful gospel trumpeter. We have opportunities that other people have never had. And I feel that many of these other generations, without the opportunities that we have, accomplished more. Can he depend on us to teach his word? Can he depend on you to do his blessed will? Will you be crowned with the faithful and true? Can he tonight depend on you? 1 John 2:17, the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of my Father abideth forever. Can he depend on you, young people, not to give in to peer pressure? Do you give in to peer pressure? When you're around a certain crowd, do you do what they do? You just kind of give in. God's looking for young people that will not give in to peer pressure. Can he depend on you to put Christ first in your heart and life? Can he depend on you to let him be first? Can he depend on you to set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth? Can he depend on you to go out here in this dark, sin-benighted world and let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven? Can he depend on you to be the salt of the earth, as the Bible says in the Matthew, the 5th chapter, to be the salt of the earth? Have salt in yourself. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? Can he depend on you to talk like a Christian? Can he depend on you to live like a Christian? Can he depend on you to dress like a Christian? Can he depend on you to act like a Christian? Can he depend on us to praise him when we feel like it and praise him when we don't feel like it? Can he depend on us to love our neighbors as ourselves? Can he depend on us to allow him to be the one that fights our battles for us? Can he depend on us not to embarrass the kingdom of God? Can he depend on us to walk by faith and not by sight? Can he depend on us that when things are good and things are bad, that we'll stay true? Or are we fair weather Christians? Can he depend on us when we're feeling up or when we're feeling down, just to go right on and not allow the dilemma to interfere with the way we live? Ezekiel 22 and verse 30 said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me in the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Can he depend on you to stand up and say, I'll be that man, I'll be that woman? God, if you're looking for me, here I am, send me. Isaiah said in the 6th chapter in verse number 8, and who will go for us? Who will go for us? Can he depend on you? Say, Lord, I'll go. Lord, if you want me to go, I'll volunteer. What God was saying in these passages was, who will be dependable? You know, the sad thing about that scripture said, but I found none. We need to make sure that we're doing what God has called us to do. Do what he has designed us to do. We need for God to be able to depend upon. He's still looking for a few good men. Can he depend on you? I want to be more dependable for God. I want to be there. Say, God, you can count on me. Maybe you just haven't been as dependable that you need to be. Maybe you need to make a commitment to God. He's dependable. I've been able to depend on God. I found that out, and I was 18 years old. that God has been dependable. And the very fact that he's been dependable ought to move our hearts to say, God, you've been so good to me. I've always been able to count on you. God, I'm surrendering my life to you. I want you to count on me. I want to be dependable. That's what the Bible's talking about in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, when he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's be that people, a dependable people for God.
Thank you, Brother Dishman. Once again, the Lord has touched our hearts in a definite manner. If you would like to receive a copy of today's radio broadcast, please give us a call at 740-345-1213. We'd like to let you know, folks, that our fall camp meeting is nearing here at the Church of God at God's Acres. It will start on Sunday, July the 31st, and will continue on through August the 7th. We trust that you will plan to be here with us during that time. Before we leave you today, friends, I'd like to remind you of our local publication, The Gospel Trumpeter. For your free copy, please call us at 740-345-1213. Or for any previous issues that you would like to have, please browse our website at godsacres.org. Friends, in behalf of our pastor, Roger Decker, we want to extend a warm welcome to you to our services at the Church of God at God's Acres, 675 North Cedar Street. Our service times today is at 9:30 for Sunday school. Our morning worship service begins at 10:45. Our evening worship service then begins at 6 o'clock. If you would need transportation to the services, please feel free to give us a call at that number, 740-345-1213. Someone will certainly be happy to stop by and pick you up. That number to call again is 740-345-1213. I see it's time to leave again for today. But before we leave, I want to thank each and every one of you for being with us today. This is Fred Barrows inviting you to join us here again next week at this same time to the Church of God radio broadcast. Until then, dear ones, may God bless and be with each one of you is our prayer.